Well, today is July 21st, probably the hottest day around here from the last 15 years, but at any rate, I'm going to do a little visit today with Bill Hafer, and Bill's memories of the early years and his association ultimately at Western Dubuque. But Bill, let's go back, if we could, to the halls of St. Joe's. And what are your memories of St. Joe's?
Well, my first memory would be of all the friends and that I made and fortunate enough to still have at St. Joe's. And probably the one thing I always remember is Sister Georgia always hitting me over the head with with a club. So, some good memories, of course, and some bad.
How about your athletic experiences back then?
Well, back then, I remember my father told me I could go out for one sport. And, of course, I chose basketball because that's what we'd play, you know, up in the barn, you know, during the winter months. But I remember being coached by none other than Bob Howard for many years. So it was a great experience. It does bring back some memories now. Playing as a sophomore, I believe, with four seniors, and we had a pretty good team. So it was fun.
I have a special memory of back then. It occurred at a practice. And, of course, back then I had always tried to bring myself up to speed on some coaching articles, coaching magazines, and I had this intriguing offense called the Headhunter offense.
And classic.
I think I remember that we were practicing at the seminary. I think that was the night we practiced at the seminary, and we had Carl and Randy Healy run the high post. They were supposed to screen each other, and anyway, it happened that they both collided in the middle of the lane.
Yeah, it kind of took care of practice for the night, if I remember right. It was a good laugh, so some good times.
You graduated in 72, I think?
71.
71, and matriculated to Loras College. And what are some of those memories you have?
Well, I remember being lost like a puppy, like every freshman in college, and did not play basketball, but played intramurals because I actually, if I remember, I'd had a part-time job at the Dubuque PAC to pay for my education. In those days, I actually played on the same intramural team as Jim Dimmer, Jerry Ross, I believe, Dale Kinkle. So some names from Western Dubuque. We had a very good team. Matter of fact, we won the intramural championship.
Was that the Noonhour League?
That was a Noonhour League, and then we did win the whole thing. We also beat the night league too.
Okay.
So,
because I remember that. Boy, I'll tell you, the intramurals were hotly contested.
It was very hotly contested. So, a lot of good ball players.
Well, you got to through Loras and getting to your senior year. Did you have kind of an idea of direction you wanted to go at that point?
Well, I guess at that point, I really wanted to teach and coach. I think that was foremost in my mind. And I was fortunate enough to my first teaching job was right here in Piasta. As part of the Epworth Piasta Placid system, and that was quite an experience.
So tell us a little bit more about how that all happened, how it worked as far as the facilities. And
well, how I got my job, I can't really say I got the job, because my the priest at the time was Father Ernsdorf, and he knew my father, who was on the parish board at St. Joe's Farley. So it was pretty much, you got the job, you know, here's when you start. So I really never interviewed. But the Piasta situation was 6th, 7th, and 8th grade over at Piasta. And we had the wonderful, you know, Piasta Coliseum, which was just a phenomenal gymnasium to play in, because you really did have a home court advantage in that one. So those were great years, great people, great parents and students. It was phenomenal for me. I learned more in my first 6 months of teaching than I did 4 years at Loras. So it was great.
Excuse me. So that was 71. How long were you actually there?
I was graduated in 75 from Loras, so I was at Piastra for 3 years. And then moved into the West Dubuque system and taught at Cordon Camp.
How did that transition happen?
My memory of that is, if I remember right, they actually, girls basketball with Title IX, I believe, was looking for an assistant basketball coach, but they couldn't pay him. For whatever reason. So the district still owes me some money, by the way. But my teaching job was at Cordon Camp, which was shared time with Beckman. And then my first year, I assisted Chuck Bailey for the girls program, but it wasn't a paid position. But then the following year, from that point on, it was. So.
What did you teach at Cordon Camp?
I was in the language arts department.
Okay, so then... Okay, so then you were there for how long?
Was there for 4 years, teaching and Chuck's assistant. And then Chuck moved on someplace out in western Iowa further to get back near home. And then I was offered the head job at the girls' program at the high school. And then I came over and took Chuck's physical education position at the high school. And I was there for 5 years.
So that was that 82, 83?
That was 82, 83 would be my first year, I believe, as a coach, head coach.
So you moved into that situation. And at that point, already I think five on five was down the road a little ways, but there was some discussion on it, but it was still 6-on-6.
That's correct. I had coached 3 years along with Jim Demmer as my assistant, and it was 3 years on 6-on-6, and then my last 2 years we had gone to 5-on-5.
Right.
So the transition went well. So
84, 85 then, that year had some excellent athletes on that team.
We had phenomenal athletes. And they were in so many sports, and they were so talented, and they were just great student athletes. We had some real talent, but many of those kids were brought up, the 84-85 team, as sophomores when we first came. When Jim and I first took the program over, we had moved probably three or four of those kids up. So by the time they were seniors, they were very seasoned. They knew what was expected, and they drew up some pretty good goals to go after. So we were very fortunate. Great kids.
So one of my memories of that year is right at I think it was one of the last games of the year. Well, I wouldn't say that for sure, but at some point you played at Vinton-Shelsburg. Remember that game?
Yes, that game I remember distinctly. It was a game before Christmas.
Yeah, there you go.
At Vinton. And Vinton was, they were a powerhouse in girls basketball, and they had not lost on their court for many games, many years, I believe. And I remember walking onto that court, and the noise, it was just phenomenal. It was like a tournament game. And those fans were rabid, man. And we pretty well smoked them, if I remember right.
Harold Shepard
was a coach, great guy, great coach. I think either he's still coaching or just got out a few years ago.
Still be around, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, from that point of Christmas on, what do you remember as far as the getting into the latter part of the season and then the tournament.
Well, I remember that year as the Big Ben, I think, the conference that we used to be in kind of folded, yeah, either a year before that or something, and the kids really had nothing to really play for in terms of a trophy or a championship, and we always, because our schedule was pretty much Big Ben teams anyway, we kind of always kept track and said, you know, one way we're trying to motivate them. But really the real goal was to try to get to the state tournament because these kids were seasoned, they were experienced, and they had a lot of confidence. So our whole thing was to keep moving towards that tournament. So
remember some of those tournament games then prior to like sub-state?
I remember the game that I think I remember was probably one of the best games I've ever been involved with was when we went down to Maquoketa in the second round and had to play Pleasant Valley. And Pleasant Valley had just a tremendous forward court. Brennan, Wiedemeyer, there's somebody else in there too. But we had beaten them twice previous, and the big knock was, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times, and we heard it from the press all the time, and it was just a phenomenal game at Maquoketa. It was packed, it was hot, it was intense, and kids came out, I think, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 point win, but it was a great, great 6-on-6 basketball game.
Right. So then,
From there, I think we had to play O-line with Shonda Berry. She was an All-American, 6'2", 6'3", just a phenomenal player. And that was played at Cedar Falls, and that was a great game. And I think Shelley Horsfall, if I remember right, scored 33 in the second half. She didn't have a lot the first half, but the second half she was just out of sight. And our guard court, you know, our guard court was so strong, we could put in 6-7 girls. It didn't make any difference one after another. They were as good as the next one. And that was really the difference, you know, in that ball game. Coach Dammer put in the old hack-a-shack on Shonda Berry, where when she got the ball, you nailed her pretty good because we had the guards to do it, and we made her go to the free throw line. And I think she shot 23, 24 free throws that night. But great game. I remember the West Dubuque fans were phenomenal. It was just great.
So that was the game to get to state.
Right.
So all of a sudden you're there as far as qualifying for the state. And remember anything regarding the planning and details and stuff to...
Well, I had such a great athletic director at the time. He took care of all that. But the one thing that a couple things I remember is the University of Iowa allowed us to practice at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And for our kids and for all of us, that was a very, very big experience. And we enjoyed it immensely. However, as an inexperienced coach, of course, I said, well, let's run this one more time. And, of course, Shelley Horsfield sprained her ankle on that one more time. And I swear that if that wouldn't have happened, we might have had a little more success in the state tournament. But she hung in there and played. But I remember that. And then I remember 23 buses left West Dubuque of students. That was phenomenal. It was just a great experience. It was the first time, I believe, in the history for the girls' program.
For the boys.
Maybe it was at the time, too. I'm not. But it was just, I just remember the community just came together, and it was awesome. It was great.
So that was, then you wanted to play in Ankeny.
Ankeny was a perennial power in girls basketball. I think they won the state tournament 23 times prior. And, of course, our first time. And, I learned a valuable lesson. And that lesson was when you make your goals is to get to the state tournament. What we didn't do was follow up and say,
you know, we're good enough to win this thing. Let's go win it. And we didn't have that goal established in our kids' heads, as well as our coaching staff. I mean, it was, we made a mistake. We didn't dream big enough. Okay. We had to get there, and we got there. And it was like...
That was like the biggest hurdle you could imagine.
It was. And we never thought... We never thought further than that.
Right.
We just said, geez, we made it. Now what do we do? So that was a lesson that I learned as a coach, is you gotta instill that you can win the whole thing. And at that team, I really believe if we as coaches would have been a little more experienced in that environment and a healthy Shelley Horsfield, I think we were talented enough to win that. But I think in state tournament inexperience took us under. So
how many classes were there back then? Was that three? I don't remember.
I know we were playing the large schools. You know, I'm not sure if they didn't have us all together. I'm not sure.
Maybe so. I don't recall it.
Because it was a 16-team tournament at that time.
Yeah.
And we played on a Tuesday at 1:15, I believe. Maybe a Wednesday, but I think it might have been a Tuesday.
So that 16 teams, that was somehow seeded? Was that what happened? Or?
Well, I got a feeling it was seeded because we got Ankeny, who got to sleep in their own beds, and they said, pick on this first-year team coming down here. But it was a great game, very intense, and we just came up a few points short. So.
Well, by that time already, you knew that down the road it was going to be 5-on-5.
Right.
So what was...
But no one had been playing that yet. I think this might have been the last year for the larger schools. If I remember, they started out with only the larger schools playing 5-on-5. And I want to say the top 46 schools, or if I remember, some kind of a number in there that started it all out. And this is the last time that the larger schools played, I believe, 6-on-6.
Yeah. But then, as far as back at the lower levels in junior high and freshman, were our kids playing 5-on-5?
I believe they were playing 5-on-5 or just started.
Yeah, so that was sort of transition time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then 85-86.
85-86 is our first year at the high school level. A matter of fact, when you say that now, Bob, I think Coach Schmidt at the sophomore level might have been playing
5-on-5. Yeah.
And I have to ask him. I don't remember that. But anyway, the 85-86 team obviously had all this excitement from being at the state tournament, but now the game had changed a little bit. So our philosophy was just to, you know, learn how to play great defense until the offensive skills would catch up. And you got to remember that some of these guards that were guards their whole life dribbled twice and that was it, never shot. So, but I remember our kids worked, the guards worked very hard over the summer prior to that on their shooting and dribbling. So it was a transition, I think, that was easier when you had great athletes who could play defense. So
how about your goal then?
Yeah, I remember. I think we were 17-5. I know we got beat in the second round of the tournament by Cedar Rapids Jefferson or somebody, Larry Niemeyer. But I think, you know, the foundation was pretty set with, we knew what we had to do, and the kids knew what they had to do. So.
So then, now you're into 86-87. Year starts out, how'd it go?
Yeah, I remember that the summer was very critical for these kids because at the end of the year, we knew what we had coming back and we thought we had a chance to be a very good team next year. So these kids, we took them out to Omaha to a team camp. And the parents were nice enough to let us do that, paid the bill. And we went out there, I think, for... I want to say 4 or 5 days, and we played some very good teams in Omaha and from the state of Iowa, Des Moines, Lincoln, the whole crew. We went 13-0. So we were coming back. We were feeling pretty good that we knew we had something. And then, of course, the season started. The high school season started, and it didn't go so good. So we started out 0-3. And these kids, their dream, they had one goal. They were going to win a state championship. Bar none.
Okay.
And you start out 0-3, there's a lot of doubt going on. And the best practice we ever had that year was the girls came to us and said, we want a players only meeting. Coach Demmer and I said, yeah, go for it, man. So we were waiting during our practice time for the girls to come on the court. Well, you know, when guys get together and have a meeting, it's pretty much 6-7 minutes, we're out, let's go. Well, we waited 15 minutes, and then it was a half hour, and we started to pace, and do we go in, do we not? It's 45 minutes, we're thinking, we're not going to get practice time. And well, they came out at 1 hour and 15 minutes. They used the whole practice time. And they came out, and they said, that's it, we're fine. Said, okay, see you tomorrow at practice. Of course, to this day, we never asked them what went on in the meeting. We never asked one thing.
There must have been some personality issues that got laid out there.
There were issues, and they kind of took care of themselves. So from that point forward, the next Tuesday we played our next game, and of course, the only reason we won that game because my beautiful daughter was born.
Good.
Audrey, she was our lucky charm for the rest of the year, and we won our first game. And then I think Wallert beat us at Wallert. So we were 1-4, and then we won our next 18 or 19 in a row. And then the last...
Played Beckman.
You remember. It's not good when you remember.
Beckman
got beat by 4 and got out coached. Didn't have the kids ready. Learned a valuable lesson. We got caught looking ahead. And our little session after that game in the locker room was, we're going to win this tournament. So get your head screwed on and come back to work. We just said, coach's mistake, let's move on. And we also let them know that Beckman was going to be in our section. And we said, you better hope that they win and we win because we will kick their behind. So we played them in the second round. We beat them by 25 points.
I remember that too. Where was that at?
That was at, I think it was at Hempstead. And then the next game we played, I believe, was, who did we beat?
Back in Cedar Falls.
It was back in Cedar Falls again. We love that. Well, we beat Vinton.
Yeah, that's who we're at. I remember that.
We beat Vinton. And they had some very good guards. But we were just too strong defensively. And we hit some big buckets down the stretch.
Eric and Gilbert throwing in some.
Our left-hander. Erica started every game that tournament trail and hit 2 or 3 bombs. And it just got us going. So they were quite a group.
So now you're back at Des Moines. And obviously at that point, West Dubuque is pretty much an afterthought for the 5-1-5. They're going to play 4 teams.
Yep.
Roofing, right?
4 teams, and we had been rated kind of fourth in the state pretty much all year, could never get any higher than that, which is fine. But so we were probably the 4th seed, and we got to take on number 1 seed Waterloo Columbus and the infamous Molly Tidebeck. Not given much of a chance, I believe, from the media, if I remember right.
Totally just... They're there for a game, that'll be it.
Yeah. But we learned our lesson, and these kids, they just had one thing on their mind, it wasn't going to be denied. And we beat Tidebeck and Columbus, and they had a very good team. They had a couple of big sophomores, I believe, and they had Tidebeck, and they had a good guard. But we were just, defensive, we were just too tough.
Mel was on the bench,
and he was pretty relaxed to start the game. He wasn't so relaxed at the end of the game. So that was a great win. That was a shocker for the media, and I'm not sure even if our fans knew we could win the game.
Yeah.
But it only counts, the people that count is the ones in the locker room. That's all you have to worry about, those kids.
Okay, so that was the semis, and now you're in the championship game, playing North Scott.
Woman coach, female coach, nerves. That was fun. I remember, and you may remember this too, the pep rally that.
Oh, and Jim and I talked about that too.
That was phenomenal. That was great.
I don't know how many hundred people must have been there.
Oh, it's just a sea of red.
It was massive.
Yeah, at that point, I kind of remember thinking to myself, we just can't disappoint these people.
Yeah.
That's what I kept thinking. So that was a heck of a game. We were, you know, we didn't play great, but we stuck it to them in the fourth quarter. We were down 9 with, I want to say, 5.5 minutes maybe, and we turned it around. And I remember the last shot that they took from half court went off the glass, hit the rim, went around and out. That's how close that was, because we were up by 3, I think.
Yeah.
And Joni Steffen was ice, free throw line. 4 free throws. And she wasn't all tournament. I couldn't believe it.
They made the boat at halftime, I think.
Yeah. So it was a dream come true?
So it was a great, experience for the kids and coaches and the fans. It was a nice pep rally coming back after
that. Oh, it was fun. It was just a great pep rally.
So that was a great year. And at that point, you made some personal decisions about where you were going to go after that, right?
Well, I think in life you have to always take a look at what else is out there in the future. I was always concerned that I wouldn't be able to teach at the high school and coach, and I know our enrollment I could see was decreasing. My own personal thought is I could get moved out of here to, you know, someplace else. I just always wanted to control my own destiny, and I just knew that I needed to do something else. Not saying I knew what I was going to do, it's just I knew what I didn't want to do anymore.
Yeah.
So I had to make a decision, and I made a decision to, you know, to move on. And it was not easy. It was very difficult to tell people, and most important is to tell the kids coming back. It was tough.
Yeah.
But I told them that, you know, I know you're not going to like this, but I know sometime in your life you're going to face the same decisions, and you'll understand.
So your total years at West Dubuque were how many, Bill?
9.
Yeah, 9 years there.
Yeah.
And you have some memories of some of the colleagues you worked with?
Coaching under Chuck Bailey was always an experience.
Yes.
And there's guys like Pat Healy in Northeast, Connie Shaver, Pleasant Valley, of course Ray Lassance at Beckman, John McGuire at Cascade. There were always battles. It was a great group, but you didn't want to lose. There was a lot of pride on the line all the time. But it was fun. It was something I'm glad I experienced.
What about some of your fellow staff members, though?
I had the greatest coaching staff in the state of Iowa. I said that many times. Jim Demmer, who I knew since 8th grade. We were actually co-captains of our basketball team in high school as seniors. Played many games together at Loras College, and knew each other's goals and values and work ethic. And Jerry Schmidt, you know, you can't find a better sophomore coach in the state than Jerry Schmidt.
No.
Coach Sass did a great job at the freshman level. And then it really all started at the junior high, where you got Gay Wilker and Billy Betts. So I remember doing a little thinking one day that in 1984, Julie and I got married, and in 85, we went to the state tournament. Coach Demmer got married in 1986, and we went to the state tournament in 87. So I started looking down our coaching staff, and I went to Coach Betts, and I said, Coach Betts. And he says, Coach, we're not going to the tournament ever again.
Oh, my God.
So I just had the great coaching staff and so much fun, so much knowledge, great kids, great support.
Yeah.
You know.
Some of your other cohorts on the staff, remember some of those people that bring back some memories? Or?
Well, I remember, I mean, in terms of girls that helped us on the bench, I had some, Christy Davenshofer, I believe, was one, Joan Hafer. I mean, these girls did it for 3 years with me. I never had to worry about a thing. I mean, those are, you think are little things, but they're huge.
Yeah.
You know? So, well, then, you know, one of the things I remember about Mr. Conrad, our athletic director, when I think the last 2 years I was there, he was just excellent. Getting everything established for our trip to Des Moines, and he had to get all these tickets. And
well, the thing I recall there was the fact that after we beat Columbus, the fans were told to go down in the basement to pick up the tickets, and he had to go somewhere to get those tickets. And I think I was maybe close to him or with him. And so they were to be set up in the basement. And he started to walk down those steps. And all of a sudden he saw all these people down there. And it was a kind of look of panic on his face.
And I think it was, early in his career at that position.
I think that was 80. He came in 85, 86, I believe. That was his first year, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to say that you, Bob Howard, probably had more influence in me since I was probably in eighth grade than
that's when anybody. I was driving a Mustang.
Yeah. Yeah. I still remember your little house in the corner up in Farley, and when we were juniors, I think, we'd come up and watch tapes of basketball games.
Oh, jeez.
We were a sick bunch, let me tell you. It was basketball,
that was
basketball.
A super 8 millimeter movie stuff. Oh, God. And
I do remember the 85 team when we went to a state tournament, because we lost the first game. We had to be in this parade of champions on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So because we lost, we stayed down the whole week.
Right.
With these 15 young lovelies, and we had to entertain them. That was work.
Well, wasn't there a party in there at some point?
There was a toga party or something.
Toga party or whatever you want to call it.
That was fun. That's great memories.
Anyway, well, thanks to Bill for sharing your memories.
Well, thank you. It was a lot of fun.
That's a lot of things that I didn't recall that you brought up that brought back some good stuff. So, thank you.